Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in chapter 17 of Deuteronomy. And let's ask the Lord to anoint this chapter, all the words that Sharon reads, and also any commentaries from me. Lord, give me the commentaries. I ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, let every hearer's heart open up in their ears. Let them hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches, unto the people of this world. And Lord, for their own sakes, let them receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, chapter 17, verse 1, Deuteronomy.
King James Version. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish, or any evil favoredness. For that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God.
Now, when you're giving something to the Lord, don't give him anything if it's your hand-me-downs or your stuff that you're just worn out or broken or anything like that. Or if it's like finances, don't flip him a quarter. That is if you don't want to be cursed. Because if you do something like that to the Lord, he wants your all. Everything that you are and everything that you have. And if you do that, it's just amazing how he gives it back 100 times. Amen?
Amen.
So you're not really giving it. You can't outgive God. You're not really giving anything to him. But be careful. Don't give him anything that is garbage or even close to garbage. Because it enrages the Lord for you to think of him as you're like a less than a waiter at a restaurant or a busboy or something like that. He's God, and you've got to give him everything, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and everything that you are and have. It's not yours anymore. It's his because he owns you. He bought you with his blood. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody doesn't think that way. Well, you're not of the Lord and you never will be. You might as well just, figure on going to hell and the lake of fire. Okay, read now the translation.
Never sacrifice a sick or defective ox or sheep to the Lord your God, for he detests such gifts.
Right. Anything that you, even, when people give something to the governor or the president of the United States, the Lord would much rather you give them garbage. He really doesn't want you to give them garbage, but then to give him something that is inferior. You're to give your very best to the Lord. If you're living in the house of God, you have to give everything to the Lord because that's the way it's set up in the book of Acts, and we're going to be doing the book of Acts pretty soon. I'm almost finished with the book of Joshua. Okay, and then go ahead.
King James Version, verse 2. If there be found among you, within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, in transgressing his covenant.
Yeah, in other words, you're anyone in the whole congregation that doesn't do everything that the Lord says to do, then what?
Verse 3. And hath gone and served other gods, and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven.
Yeah, and if anybody starts reverting back to the Jewish religion, which eliminates Christ, they don't believe in Christ, these Jews today, but there's a lot of Jews such as myself that do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but when the Lord's talking about people that don't, they just have a religiosity about them, they just... believe in the old, they don't believe that Jesus has come to the world, and they don't believe in worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ as God commands them to, or they'll worship, they'll join some church that believes that once saved, always saved, you can sin all you want, and you can sin and not go to hell and the lake of fire. The Lord says anybody that believes such idol worshiping as that, or belongs to the Catholic, after they hear the truth, and they still demand being in some religion rather than being into salvation, that the Lord will never let you enter into the kingdom of God. Buddhism, Mohammedism, Islam, any of these, you see this Tina Turner, she joined in with Buddhism because it makes her feel good, she said, when she chants. Well, that's a fake feel good, because you really feel, there's no way to feel really good. She doesn't know what feeling good is until you know the Lord and until you start praising Him, sending your praises and thanksgiving unto the Lord, and to know that you're saved. Only Jesus saves, and what else?
And hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded. And it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquire diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel.
Well, you know, a lot of people, they worship the creation rather than the man, the person that created everything. If somebody has built a house, I'm not going to worship the house. I'm going to not even worship the man that built it. I'm going to but give finances and my appreciation to the person that built the house. Well, the Lord God, through Christ, has built the whole house or the whole city of God. And that's the one that I'm going to worship. He created the sun and the moon, the stars, and everything. And we're not to worship any of God's creation. We're to worship the Lord who made all these things. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't, the next verse will tell you that in the Old Testament, they take you outside the city and stone you to death. And today, God will utterly destroy you for doing it. We don't do that. The Lord will do it. Okay, go ahead and read it.
Verse 5, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die.
All right, so it may seem, you know, like in vogue to go worshiping after the Bhagwan or any of these other Mohaji Baba or Paramahansa Yoganandi and all these fakers and presidents and kings that are liars. In the Old Testament, you'd be stoned to death for doing such a thing as that. You're not even supposed to have a king over you unless it's a godly king. And it's for sure. These presidents today say they're of the Lord and all that, and then they make people go to war. But of course, God is allowing them to do these things because He uses them to punish heathen nations, but God will destroy them as well after He gets through using them. That's all God is doing with these ungodly, of course God calls them bastards, fatherless children. He's just using them, and then He's going to throw them away like a broken Coke can, Coca-Cola can, or like a wrapper off of a candy bar, or a wrapper off of a Crisco can. That's all He's doing, is using them. Okay, then what?
Verse 6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death.
Yeah, now the Lord has appointed judges, prosecuting attorneys, and all that, and you see a lot of these churches today where everybody in the church thinks that they're a judge. And they don't do anything in the way that the Lord has outlined in the Bible. He says, you're not a judge. Not unless He made you a judge. And what He does is He puts the elder of the church as the judge. And you are nothing but a laity that is supposed to, if you think that there's something wrong in the church or in the congregation, you're to report it to the judge, okay, to the elder of the church, and then he's the judge. And God would never appoint somebody and then have a bunch of people. You see all these busybody women in the church that just they're rebuking and reproving people. And they have never been called to do that, because 99 times out of 100 they're doing it the wrong way. And I had to put people out of the church because they won't stop doing that. They think that they've been appointed as a judge. Some of them are like 15, 13, 14, and 15-year-old girls or boys, and they believe they're teachers, and the Lord, and they're not even good novices. And the Lord tells you us to not allow a novice to teach or teach, because they'll fall into the same condemnation as the devil. So we have to warn these young people to you're not to teach. You can give your testimony, and some of you might even be able to preach. And I certainly wouldn't hold anybody back from doing that. Or if the Lord anointed you in a certain way, and I knew it, I wouldn't hold anybody back. But you're not a judge, because I know that your judgments are wrong. You don't know the Bible well enough, and you're novices, and you have to stop rebuking people. But you don't want to do it the way the Lord wants you to do it, just to report the matter to me. And the Lord always gives me instant judgment on things, because I live really close to him, and I'm in the Spirit all the time. And so Candace was the last one I put out of the church for that. I sent her back with her mother. And this Becky Avila, she makes too many judgments herself, and she's not a judge. And I would say at least 90% of the time, 99% of the time, she's wrong. And she twists things, and she lies a lot. And she justifies herself a lot. The Davis family does the same thing. That's why they were put out of the church. We can't have a church with somebody, self-appointed judges. Amen?
Amen.
We have the book of Judges in the Bible. Okay? These were appointed judges by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And you're not to have anybody over you that is not of the Lord. And so people come into the church, and there's everybody judging them. Like, for instance, Jorge and his sidekick, Martin. One new man came into the church, and he saw some soap, and he started using some because he just figured, well, it's a community situation, and people can, he didn't know that anybody owned it. And so they came down and called me and wanted to throw him out of the church. You two people are very fortunate to still be in the church, because you appointed yourself as judges, and you don't even have any ideas. Like, you don't have any mercy in you whatsoever. You're puffed up in your flesh, and you don't have witnesses. And if you think that you are appointed to judge and as judges, and that I'm supposed to just listen to your judgment and act upon it, all that did was infuriate me. And I have put you out of this church on two occasions already. So make sure that you know and receive that you're not judges. And what you've done corporately, you people destroy people's souls by thinking that you're judges and that you've been appointed to reprove and rebuke people. You yourself need to be openly rebuked and reproved, and you have to stop doing what you're doing, because I'm not going to let you continue destroying the church. You'll have to leave, just like Candace and her sister and their whole family and the Davises. When people report things to me, you're to not call them devils, because I want them to report things to me. When the Davis family said that I appointed five people to go check on a house to see if it was what some of the repairs were that needed to still be done, and the Davis family jumped all over them, Sue Davis and Don Davis, and even the JJ, the little boy, was saying that Melissa was of the devil because she reported the things that are going on in my own church. And so I can't suffer that. That was like a conspiracy. And that conspiracy's been going on a long time with Don Davis. And now they are justifying everything that they did with letters. They're wanting to come back. But, of course, they can't. They cannot come back. Because anyone that would justify this sort of thing is not of the Lord. All right, let's keep going.
Verse 7, the hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people.
You know, there has to be a law and order. We have a lawless society, and a lot of people just think that because the President of the United States and the Pope says that you can, we're all free moral agents, and we are, but that they're free to just do whatever they want to. That is not the way the Bible says. You have to go by the Bible. And that's what I do. And as long as I'm in charge, you will be put out of this church if you have appointed yourself to be a judge or appoint yourself to be in some position that you absolutely are not qualified to fill that such a position as that. Okay, go ahead.
So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. Verse 8. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Verse 9, and thou shalt come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days.
So you go to the spiritual people. And the judge that the Lord appointed, you're not a judge. You don't know what you're doing. You have not been anointed by the Lord to be a judge, and you're not spiritual. All you have is a bad disposition, and you've got a chip on your shoulder towards certain people that come in. Maybe you don't like the way they look. Maybe you're prejudiced or something in some way or another against them. And you don't have any patience with people. You don't want to give them some space to grow. You don't want to teach people anything. Because you don't turn them over to me when something like that is gone, so I can teach them that, yes, everybody owns their own soap here. Or everyone owns what they have. I mean, as far as things like that. Because we don't want people stealing from each other, and that's what it is. And the first thing that should have been done is that these people should have been given a box of soap. We provide all that for people, and so therefore I wouldn't care. The soap that he took from George or Martine, that wasn't theirs anyway. I just let them, we bought it, okay, for them. And if they ran out, they could have had some more. Everybody that puts that on the list gets whatever they need. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so the judgment is like they are here to try to destroy souls. And they think by working on a roof or working in, you know, into construction or something like that, that that makes everything all right. That doesn't make anything all right. I'd rather hire unsaved people. And if an unsaved person does something like that, people say, well, he's just an unsaved person. But you're claiming to be Christians, and you're not. You people that judge, and you've not been appointed to judge. So watch yourself, because you can plainly see that people are being removed from the church for doing such things as that. That's what the Lord in the chapter 11 in the book of Revelation is saying, to measure the people in the church in these last days. If they don't measure up to the word, if they will not stop being judges when they're not judges and stop usurping authority all over the place, then you have to put them outside the house of God and put them out there with the unbelievers, the Gentiles. Okay, then what?
Thou shalt come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days and inquire.
See, there's just one judge. There's not a lot of judges, and there's just one high priest. Amen?
Amen.
And you're not a judge, and you're not a high priest either. So back off. The Lord let me be a judge. Right?
Right.
Now, maybe they let you do that, you people that are hearing this tape, in your church. Well, you know, I have nothing to say about that. I just, you know, if that's the way he runs the church, your pastor runs the church. But that isn't the way I do. I run it according to the Word of God. I have no argument with the Lord on any item. All right, then what?
And they shall show thee the sentence of judgment.
Yeah, the judge will do that, or the priest. Okay, then what? I'm not talking about a Catholic priest, because they're not priests. We hear on the news that most of them are homosexuals. And it's for sure God doesn't have a homosexual as a judge. They don't even judge themselves. If they did, they'd know they're going to hell and into the lake of fire. Then what else? And child molesters.
Verse 10. And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place, which the Lord shall choose, shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee.
Yeah, not Martine and Jorge or, you know, Becky Avila. They're like less than nothing in the church because they're undermining it. But it's they, the judge and the priest, those are the ones that make the decision. We don't have but one judge in this church, and that's me, all right? And so you stop judging people, but report it. You're too lazy to report it, and if you don't report it, then you're in trouble with the Lord as well. Okay, then what?
Verse 11. According to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do.
Right. Now, the judgment, yeah, I really don't consider myself a judge. I when I do judge, I judge with the Word of God. Okay? And they don't. And they don't judge with common sense. All right, then keep going.
Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand nor to the left. Verse 12. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God.
Yeah, no, I'm a priest and also I'm a judge. And if you people don't hearken to what I'm telling you, then what is supposed to happen?
Or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel.
No, I'm not going to kill you because I can't, I'm not going to do that, but the Lord will. So be careful how you judge. As a matter of fact, don't judge at all. If you think something's wrong in your mind, you think that they're doing something wrong, then report it to me. And I'll let you know if you're right or wrong, all right? And I'll take care of it. You see me take care of it, right?
Right.
Okay, because I don't want to be cursed. I don't want this church to be cursed or anybody in it. Then what?
Verse 13, and all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously.
Amen.
Translation, verse 2 through 13. Suppose a man or woman among you in one of your towns that the Lord your God is giving you has done evil in the sight of the Lord your God and has violated the covenant. Verse 3. By serving other gods or by worshiping the sun, the moon, or any of the forces of heaven, which I have strictly forbidden. Verse 4. When you hear about it, investigate the matter thoroughly.
You see that the Lord says he calls the sun and the moon and the stars forces. That the tide is controlled by the force of the moon. Amen?
Amen.
And the growing seasons, that we cannot grow anything unless we have the force of the sun. Amen?
Amen.
We can't even guide a ship if you don't have a compass unless you have the force of the formation of the stars. And there are many other things, seasons, times, and seasons, that are controlled, or that we can see that the universe is, tells us when it's time to plant, when the tide is going to come in, all the different things that the sun, moon, the force of the sun, the moon, and the stars. But they have forces. They have force, but you're not to worship any of the force of the creation of God, the sun, the moon, the stars, or any other thing. Because what force they have, It's God's force that he gave them. Amen?
Amen.
And he's going to take the force away. The sun's going to be darkened. The moon's going to turn to blood. The stars are going to fall out. Everything's going to go crazy because the people of the world have gone crazy because they don't listen to the Lord. And so the Lord is going to let everyone know what it's like when God lets everything go crazy, when he lets his whole universe go crazy and the earth is moved off of its axis and the buildings start caving in, stars start falling, meteorites on this earth. The Lord has just begun the plagues. We're well into the tribulations. As people are saying, the tribulations are going to come one of these days, and we're going to be raptured out of it. Well, the ones that are saying that are still here. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you're not going to be raptured out of the tribulations, a bunch of false prophets. Then what?
If it is true that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, verse 5, then that man or woman must be taken to the gates of this town and stoned to death. Verse 6, but never put a person to death on the testimony of only one witness. There must always be at least two or three witnesses.
Right. Now, witnesses, they sent 12 witnesses into the land of Israel from the wilderness, and only two of them were witnesses. The 10 brought a false witness about the land and and sowed unbelief into the hearts of the people of Israel. So everybody just, you know, you can bring two people like Jorge and Martin, and I don't call them witnesses. They need to be put out of the church for doing such evil things as that. So if they came and told me that somebody had committed, I wouldn't listen to them because a witness is somebody that does all the will of the Lord and has mercy on people and doesn't usurp authority and doesn't think that the pastor that the Lord has called is incapable of judging properly. And I judge them as heretics, both of them, and the same thing with Becky Avila, and the same thing with anyone else that is out of order. They're like stars that are careening through the universe that God has no control over. They're crazy. They're like loose cannons. They are not controlled by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. When you say control, we have to control ourselves to be controlled by the Holy, by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God, Jesus said, is spirit and life. So you say, how do you become controlled by the Holy Spirit? Read the Word and then just do what it says. That's how you got to make yourself do it. It's not going to just happen. You have to do it. And so these commandments that are being presented here are something that is clear and it's easy to do. Amen?
Amen.
But don't be calling people witnesses like I'd had 15, 16 false witnesses come up against me in the courtroom. And every one of them lied. Those are not witnesses. They're false witnesses. Now, the only two that were witnesses were Caleb and Joshua in the whole bunch. They brought the true witness back. That the land is beautiful and we can easily take it and God really blessed us. Amen?
Amen.
The rest of them were a bunch of liars. So don't think that you, when you have two people that are renowned for lying and are renowned for not, having a balance or a knowledge of the Word of God, I don't call them witnesses at all. I wouldn't take their testimony at all. And many times people are four or five foolish girls or boys write up reports on people and their lies. Every single one of them are liars. We just had a case like that against Debbie Ondersak, a bunch of lying boys, and I didn't believe them. And I sought it out diligently, and all those boys were liars, every single one of them. Okay, let's go.
Verse 7, the witnesses must throw the first stones, and then all the people will join in. In this way you will purge all evil from among you. Verse 8, suppose a case arises in a local court that is too hard for you to decide. For instance, whether someone is guilty of murder or only of manslaughter, or a difficult lawsuit or a case involving different kinds of assault. Take such cases to the place the Lord your God will choose. Verse 9, where the Levitical priests and the judge on duty will hear the case and decide what to do.
Now, you know, Zeno, the judge, the priest or the judge decides what to do. Not Jorge and Martin or Becky Avila or anybody else. Nobody else. Now, you have these unsaved presidents of the United States and the administration and all these people that are Catholics and say they're born-again Christians and they're not. You have them saying all kinds of things. Well, I know that they're liars, but they're not part of my camp, the Lord's camp, and so therefore I have no jurisdiction over them. And we're like sheep among wolves. And so I don't want to, I know what the Bible says, I know they're not of the Lord. And when they say they are, then I have to say, no, you're not. Because they're just saying those things because it's fashionable these days because of all the literature and the gospel that we've put out for many years, 40 years for myself and my wife, deceased wife, Susie, 25, 30 years before me. She was saved and was distributing literature and was pastoring churches. But it's plain to see that I'm not going to go down to the courtroom and judge them because they're not going to pay any attention to what I say. And you notice that here, these instructions are not for the Gentiles or anything. These are for the people that are living in the camp of the Lord. That's the judgments. Like some people say, well, if you owned a motel and then you somebody moves in and they pay the rent and they're in there drinking a bottle of beer or something like that. Then they come and call me, hey, you know, they're buying beer. And I have nothing to say, you know. Witness to them then, okay? But don't witness about their habits, their bad habits, and the things that they're doing wrong. Because that's none of, you just don't have the right to do that. If somebody was bringing in a woman that then they're unmarried and into, and they're just using the room or the apartment for sexual purposes or something, I'll just tell them, no, we don't allow that. You can't go in there. But if you had a hotel and you're open for the general public, you can't tell people what to do, really, except the rules of the hotel. And you have to make that straight with them before they move in. There's no drinking here. There's no booze here. You have to let them know straight out. And then they say, well, I wouldn't move into a hotel like that. Well, fine, there's other motels. Okay, go ahead. Or there's no, this is not a house of prostitution. You have to go somewhere else. Get it straight first. Okay, then what else?
Verse 10. The decision they make at that place the Lord chooses will always stand. You must do exactly what they say.
In other words, you have to do exactly what the judge says or the priest. And that doesn't fall upon the people here that are just laity in the church. Because they have no right to judge. They can make a judgment. They think this person is sinning really bad. And then the next word out of their mouth should say, I'm going to call Tony. All right? And then you'll tell me what they did. And I'll say, have you got witnesses? They'll say, yeah. And it'll be Jorge or somebody like that or Becky or some people that have told so many lies that it's unbelievable. And I'm not going to believe them. You better get real witnesses, all right? Because I don't believe just everybody as a witness. And if I see their judgment is wrong, and if they have ever lied about anybody else, you're already in my book. You're a liar. I don't believe anything you say. I'd have to have a whole bunch of people come in and tell me. And I'd have to quiz them, seek diligently, and quiz them and put them through the third degree before I'd ever believe it. But you better report it. And some of you may say, well, then we're not going to report anything because he wouldn't believe us because we have lied in the past. No, you better report it, and then sometimes the person will admit that they did it. So don't be that. Then you're judging again that you're not going to report it because you've been found to be a liar. So don't judge that way. Just report what you see or what you think, okay? All right, then what?
Verse 11. After they have interpreted the law and reached a verdict, the sentence they impose must be fully executed. Do not modify it in any way.
Yeah, that doesn't tell you. You make the decision and all that. It says the judge and the priest. That's it. The ones that God appointed. The ones that the Lord trusts. Now, the Lord obviously has trusted me and has appointed me to be the one to teach you the Bible. All right? Because nobody else did. Right?
Right.
Even your own parents didn't. Okay, so I'll be the one that judges too. All right? If God... Now, God told me that he would keep me, he'd win that decision for me if I'd vow to write a new tract every month. Now, God put me over the barrel to write tracts. Amen?
Amen.
So he must like the way I think, all right?
Yes.
He must think, he wouldn't tell some honyot to go and write a tract once a month, would he?
No.
Or somebody as haywire as some of these people in this church. He told me, and that's how I'm cursed a lot, if I don't do one every month. Now, the last time I wrote a tract, which was another Pearl Harbor, the Lord said, this is your last tract right now. And that's why I haven't been able to put out another tract. So he says, now you want me to do these tapes. But I'm really getting a new tract together, but it just doesn't seem to be getting together as I like. It's taken a long time. The Lord told me this is your last tract at the moment. So he's got me observed, so I'm searching. What is it? What is it? What is it that you want me to do? And this has gone on for about, 6 months now. But I was doing a tract a month before that. And they came easy. Right?
Right.
The one I'm doing now is... it's coming along, and I think it's fantastic, but still it's not finished. It's getting close, and, if the Lord doesn't want it out, I don't want it out either. One reason might be because we've got a whole warehouse full of tracts that haven't been distributed yet, and we need to get them out of that warehouse. We need to get them on the streets. Amen?
Amen.
That's where they need to be. Once I see... And once the Lord sees these tracts out of that warehouse and on the streets to everybody, then he'll, I'm sure, let this tract go. Amen?
Amen.
So people that are just hanging around in that print shop, we're doing reruns on certain tracts and everything, but people have to get out on the streets and start distributing this literature. Okay, then what else?
Verse 12. Anyone arrogant enough to reject the verdict of the judge or of the priest who represents the Lord your God must be put to death.
Right, so it's very bad for you to reject the judgment that the Lord gives me. All right? You don't realize what you're doing, I reckon. But right here it tells you what's going to happen to you. God says you must be put to death, so and I can't do it, so he must be the one that's going to do it. Don't you think?
Yes.
All right, then what?
Such evil must be purged from Israel.
It's got to be cleaned out of Israel. The church has to be purged. If people won't receive the word of God, then they're not of God. It's just that simple. No matter how rebellious you are not going to get your way in this church. You'll either do it God's way or you'll depart. And some people say, but I want to stay. I don't want to go. I don't care whether you want to go or whether you want to stay or not. You still have to go if you're going to not receive the word of God. Okay, then what?
Verse 13, then everyone will hear about it and be afraid to act so arrogantly.
Yeah, so that's what they're doing now. When I put them out of the church, some people are starting to get some fear. And they're not arrogant anymore. But if it crops up, the Lord tells me, move them out. I will. This is one church that isn't looking to have numbers unless the number... We want quality. The Lord wants quality, not quantity. Now, there was he wanted quality, so only he got two out of the whole millions, Joshua and Caleb. That shows that he wants quality rather than quantity. Amen?
Amen.
Millions of them died out in the wilderness, and only two were the quality ones. Okay, go ahead.
King James Version, verse 14. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Verse 15. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee.
Yeah, like, in other words, I don't want some king over me that is like of the devil. That's what the Lord is saying. Every king, that if you're going to say you want to be like the Gentiles and have a king over you instead of me being your king, well, then it has to be a Jew, and it has to be a Christian, in other words, and it has to be somebody that is going to rule according to my word. You cannot have a Gentile, unsaved, uncouth, a vile person as king over you. And so Caesar is not my king, because God said not to have Caesar over me. Then the Caesar says that I'm a bad person because I don't believe in his government, is Satan, or I'm not to have Satan over me. I'm supposed to despise the devil, Satan, and all of his government officials, because they refuse to repent and follow my way, which is God's way. Now, they either do it God's way, which is my way, which is God's way, or that God is going to kill them. And so you hear them making all kinds of promises. I was just watching the convention where Bush was making this speech, which was written by somebody that knew how to make people applaud. That isn't Bush talking. But see, I really don't have any jurisdiction over that. I just know that God has put these heathens, he's allowed them to be in power, just like he did King Titus, who destroyed Jerusalem for sinning. And there's so many sinful people in the world that God has allowed the Vatican to raise them up, just as he did the locusts in the time of Joel to destroy the land because of the sinfulness of it. And many other times where the Lord destroyed the land by using different other armies of people. And, of course, he says he's going to destroy. He uses them, but then he destroys them after they get done because they themselves are wicked. And so the Lord is using this bunch of obviously satanic people. And they just are having a field day, and they love it, and they're walking around very proud and boastful and name-calling each other. They're both of the same category, both of these people running for president. Somebody thought that I was against Bush and for the other guy. I'm not for the other guy either. They're both the same. Nobody runs for president unless... But I'm not involved in that at all. I'm of the kingdom of heaven. I have nothing to do with this world order. All we are is like sheep among wolves, and we have to just judge our own people and judge the end time prophecies the way that the Lord says they are. He said that this government that we have today, that is in the world today, is the beast, and that it's controlled by Rome, the cult in Rome, and that they've been given a voice, and that's the media. It's just so simple. And that God is going to destroy them. And he's using them now to take over the world. And then the Lord is letting them build up such a powerful-looking situation so that people will realize how powerful of God is when he smashes them. He's going to smash them with a stroke. All of them are going to weep and wail when he smashes them. They're nothing. They're killing people and destroying people, but they're nothing. Because God is going to just smash them in one flash of a second. Then what else?
Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother.
Yeah, and then all these supposed to be Christian stations are these false prophets are saying, vote for Bush, vote for Bush. Why should I set a stranger over me? Why should I vote for Bush or this other guy? Well, these people are either naive or they're possessed with the devil. They don't read the Word of God that says you're not supposed to be entangled with the affairs of this world, which is politics. And these false prophets that are on television, these ministries are saying, we've got to get involved in politics. They don't have enough faith to know that God is going to take care of everything. If they would just keep the Lord's commandments and stop saying these things, and they would get a hold of the Lord and to ask him to destroy the bad people, they think that if they get into politics that they're going to put the Bible back in school. And if they did, that would be great, but that isn't what the Lord wants. Did you see Mary or Joseph struggling to get the Bible into the schools back when they were here? That was all Catholic over there, the Roman soldiers. They weren't reading the Bible, were they?
No.
They were fornicating. There was lesbians and homosexuals. People having sex with animals and everything else. I don't hear one ranting or raving. He just said, here's what I'm going to do if you have sex with animals. Here's what I'm going to do to you if you're a faggot or a lesbo, a bull dyke. Here's what I'm going to do if you're a fornicator. Here's what I'm going to do to you if you are an adulteress or an adulterer. Here's what I'm going to do to you if you forget me. I'm going to tear you to pieces. I'm going to pack dung into your eyes and your nostrils, your earlobes, and cram it down your throat. Well, but we don't want a God like that. That doesn't make any difference whether you want him or not. That's what you got. That's who you're going to have to face whether you like it or not. Who do you think you are? There's nothing that you can do about God. You'll either serve him or you'll rebel against him, and God is going to have his way. If you serve him, his way is you're going to heaven. If you don't serve him, his way is that you're going to hell. So God is, you know, he's the final word. Amen?
Amen.
So what are you trying to be? You know, you're going to stonewall God? You're a joke. You're a funny little monkey, you. You funny little monkey. God'll stretch your nose out bigger than your rear end. Okay? He'll rub your ears together. He'll stretch your nose bigger than your stupidity. And that's a lot. Okay, then what?
Verse 16. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold.
Right, so some of these people, God gave them wives, but they're not to say, okay, God's given me all these wives, and so now I'm going to start multiplying them. I'm going to start breeding kids over here, and I'm going to just take wives. No, the ones that God gave them, they could have, but they not to multiply them. If I want to multiply horses, what I do is I start breeding them. Amen?
Amen.
So I can have lots of colts. And that's what you do if you want wives. You start breeding them in the congregation. You just send scouts out all over the land and say, okay, bring all these females in here so I can take a look at and pick the ones I want. That's what he's saying. Don't do that. Amen. If you're a king, or if you're if they're going to have a king over them. Okay? Now, we know that God gives a lot of females to certain people, like he did David. He said he gave you the daughters and the wives of Saul, and he gave him the daughters of Judah and Israel. And if he wanted more, all you'd have to do is ask me, and I'd show you which ones you can have. I'll give you all you want. Okay? But you're not to do it. you're not to multiply them. Okay? Then what?
Verse 18. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites.
Okay.
Verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. Verse 20. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment, to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel.
Okay, now translation.
Guidelines for a King, verse 14 through 20. You will soon arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, and you will conquer it and settle there. Then you may begin to think, quote, we ought to have a king like the other nations around us, unquote. Verse 15. If this happens, be sure that you select a king, the man the Lord your God chooses. You must appoint a fellow Israelite, not a foreigner. Verse 16.
Right. And when you have somebody over you, if you're a Christian, you're not to put some devil over you. You're supposed to have a Christian over you. All right? Does that make sense to some feeble-minded people? Okay, good. I'm glad that, you know, you're that bright spiritually. Because they're going to tell you to do whatever, anything that they're doing in the world today if they're not Christian. Like, let's go to war. Come on, let's go and murder a lot of people. I just heard them say on television that in order for us to control the world, that it's going to take a lot of patience and it's going to be at the cost of millions and millions of lives. And we just have to adjust our thinking to that. Now, do you think the Lord approves that?
No.
No. Then what?
The king must not build up a large stable of horses for himself, and he must never send his people to Egypt to buy horses there.
Well, see, this is the guidelines for kings. Just because they want to show power, he doesn't want them to show their power with horses, by means of horses or females. It's just like Paul in the New Testament said, if you're going to be a king, no, or if you're going to be a bishop, he said, have only one wife. Just have one wife if you want to be a bishop. And here, if you want to be a king, don't, you know, whatever wives God gives you, you can have, but don't be multiplying them. It's, you know, just so that you can say, I've got 1,000 wives or 10,000 wives or something like that. Because people will fear you because they know that you've got so much money that you can afford them. And that, you know, make the whole bunch of people think that you're more powerful. But the Lord doesn't want people as kings or bishops to show power by having a lot of wives or a lot of horses. He wants them to be godly so that people will know them for their power. As the godly power, as David did, Psalmist David, who also God had given a lot of females to. And he says, God said it, I gave you these women from Judah, and I gave you women from Israel, and I gave you women from of the Saul's family and his daughters and so on. And if that wasn't enough, you could have just asked me, and I would have pointed out some more for you, however many you wanted. But don't you multiply them yourself. All right, then what?
The king must not build up a large stable of horses for himself, and he must never send his people to Egypt to buy horses there, for the Lord has told you, quote, you must never return to Egypt, unquote. Verse 17. The king must not take many wives for himself, because they will lead him away from the Lord.
Well, see, many wives, well, what does the Lord consider many? He's saying, like Solomon. Solomon had 1,000 wives. That's many. Amen?
Amen.
David didn't have any thousand. He just had what the Lord gave him. So, 1,000 wives. He took thousands of... He took 1,000 wives because he took a bunch of them for political reasons and for advantage. Not because he loved him or anything. So he did break that commandment. And they did lead him away from the Lord. When he took Gentile wives that were into all kinds of illicit sex, he took in the shiksas. Okay, then what else?
And he must not accumulate vast amounts of wealth in silver and gold for himself.
Well, see, Solomon had a lot of silver and gold, but God gave it to him. He gave him wealth, okay? So there's a difference there. If God gives you something, that's one thing. But Solomon never tried to accumulate more because he had all that he wanted. God gave him everything he wanted, amen, and needed. And the thing that he did was accumulated many wives. Wouldn't have been satisfied with 30, 40 of them or something, but 1,000. My God. And what else? That was wrong. And Gentile wives. That was even more wrong. Okay, then what?
Verse 18. When he sits on the throne as king, he must copy these laws on a scroll for himself in the presence of the Levitical priest. Verse 19. He must always keep this copy of the law with him and read it daily as long as he lives. That way he will learn to fear the Lord his God by obeying all the terms of this law. Verse 20. This regular reading will prevent him from becoming proud and acting as if he is above his fellow citizens. It will also prevent him from turning away from these commandments in the smallest way. This will ensure that he and his descendants will reign for many generations in Israel.
Okay, now that was the last verse in the Deuteronomy chapter 17, and now we got some commentary.
17 verse 7. The witness was required to initiate the penalty by casting the first stones, thus subjecting himself to blood revenge should his testimony prove to be false.
Right, if his testimony was false and it was found out, then he would have to be put to death too. So people were afraid to give false witness against people because whatever, like in other words, if somebody was stealing in the church and you say that they're going to be put out, or if they commit adultery or fornication. So if you say that they did and they really didn't and it was found out, then you are the one that has to leave the church because you're a liar. Then what?
See chapter 19, verse 15 through 21. 17, verse 14. This is the only passage in the Pentateuch that mentions the idea of a monarchy. Israel was a theocratic state with God as her only king. But here Moses predicted that Israel would eventually ask for a king.
But Moses predicted it because God told him. Okay, and then what else?
Israel's kings would be distinguished from those of her neighbors by the guidelines of personal character set down in the law. This anticipated the establishment of the Davidic throne and the reign of Christ. 16 verse 16 through 17. A sad commentary on Israel's subsequent monarchies in that many violated all these prohibitions. 17 verse 1. God should get the best we have. For the ancient Israelites, this was important with respect to the material sacrifices. How much more does the principle apply in terms of our offering our life to God as a living sacrifice? See Romans 12, verse 1.
Yeah, the best we have is ourself, and ourself that does exactly what the Lord says. Sacrificing yourself and being the way you were is no sacrifice at all. Then what?
Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Unquote.
Right. If God gave himself in the flesh, then who are we to not sacrifice ourselves? That's what the blood covenant is. He gave himself for us, and if we will give ourselves for him, then we have a covenant there. If you break that covenant, if you won't do what he says, then you've broken the covenant, and he's not going to be with you always. He will leave and forsake you. But he's saying to his people, the ones that keep the covenant, I will never leave or forsake you that keep my covenant, my laws, my commandments. Okay, then what?
We must do our best to preserve ourselves for God's service. Spiritual maturity is the most important part of this task. 17 verse 8 through 13. Submission to authority is a concept and our duty of command that is largely lost in these days in our culture, but it is consistent in the commandment with biblical teachings. God is our supreme authority, but God's word, the Bible, also makes it clear that we are to submit ourselves to the earthly authorities of God's government God has placed over us. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, and 1 Peter 2, verse 13 through 14. Romans 13, verse 1 through 5. Quote, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Unquote. 1 Peter 2, verse 13 through 14.
So that chapter tells you that the authority of the Lord here on earth is not the unsaved people that are making the laws that you see today, but people like myself, people that keep the commandments of the Lord. Okay? We're the authority, and if you don't, and you're subject to our wrath, we'll throw you out of the church. Because one Achan in the church can destroy the whole church, can trouble the whole church. And then I would be the one that God would get onto because I didn't put the troublesome one out. And I'm not going to go to hell for anybody. No matter how hot you think you are. And what else?
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. Quote, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well.
Unquote. I mean, that means keep the common sense laws of the land, pay your taxes, observe speeding rules and regulations, laws, and conform to those things that make sense. It's good not to be speeding in a when they tell you to not speed, or to speed in a school district where children are playing, and all that. That's what that's talking about. It doesn't mean if they say that you can commit murder by aborting your child, you cannot keep that commandment. Okay, then what else?
Part of God's program for spiritual power, spiritual maturity, living, involves respecting and submitting to our authorities.
Yeah, but the authorities that the Lord has on earth is plainly stated that it's the people of God. Amen?
Amen.
These ungodly authorities are not your authority at all. But they're the adversary, and the Lord says if they... you're out distributing literature and they say you can't do it, you stop doing it. Or if they tell you, do this, and it's not anything against the Lord, like as I told you before, just as a good example, in prison they told me, I was in there for under false charges. I was in line for the phone and they told me, hey, get some ice. So I said, yes, sir, and I went and did it. And even though I had to wait another hour and a half to get back in line on the phone, maybe 2 hours, and when I got done, the guy put me, the officer was shocked, and I could see he was crushed because I immediately did what the Lord said, agree with the adversary quickly. Agree with that. So I did. I didn't say, hey, you know, I'm in line and I've been here for... He knew that. And I knew he knew that. He was just trying to really... But when he saw me observing the Lord's commandment like that, he immediately, when I got done, he said, okay, he's next. He put me in the line first because he knew that it was my turn. All right? So I didn't have to wait another hour and a half to 2 hours. And that was a good testimony to that police officer, because we have to be good testimonies to them and to the President of the United States to be orderly and to respect that person's soul enough to keep the commandments of the Lord to be a testimony so that the Lord in you can be a testimony to them. And you are not to be spitting in people's faces or anything like that, like you see some people have done. You see it in, maybe you've seen it in a motion picture or something, that it's supposed to be John the Baptist spitting, but you don't agree with him. He said, John the Baptist said that, he says, I'm not going to baptize you people. He said, who has warned you, vipers, you snakes? So he was telling them that they were vipers and snakes, which is all right. Who's warned you to flee from the wrath of God? He says, do things that are of the Lord, and then I'll baptize you. Let me see God in you, and then I'll baptize you. But I'm not going to baptize you today. Then go ahead.
Those who refuse to obey the laws of the land, or the laws of God primarily, as far as the law of the land is concerned, like stealing and other small regulations like that.
But that's also the law of God. You're not to steal, right?
Right.
And what?
Are refusing to obey God. But we are not to obey these unlawful laws of the land, such as abortion, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, all these things, the Supreme Court saying that we can lie. Romans 13:2, when we do follow the laws set out for us by God's government, and that is to reject every evil thing that this Antichrist government is doing, we are bringing honor to God. But unfortunately, most of the preachers today say that that means the secular government, that we're supposed to be bringing honor to God by doing everything they say to do, and that is false.
Praise the Lord, that was chapters 17 of the book of Deuteronomy. And hopefully you will remember these things, to not judge, but to report things so that judgment can be made, proper judgment. Why do you want to be in trouble with the Lord? Remember these things so that you can stand another day in the Lord by concentrating on these things that you've just heard in every chapter. Keep your mind on the Lord. And remember, he's also said in other places, pray always, communicate always with the Lord so he can communicate back to you, and take time out to listen to see if he's talking to you, if there's something special that he wants you to do today, because he has something for everyone to do every day. Till chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, God bless you, and I know he is, if you're keeping his commandments, and praise the Lord.